saying take care of old Betsy. She'll be in good hands. Call 231-347-3487. That's 347-3487. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second half hour of our discussion with Pastor Chatfield, going over the farewell address by George Washington. And basically, once he got past the parties, where did he go from there?
Okay, then another theme was morality, education, religion. Let me read you most of a paragraph here. Here's what this is what George Washington said. Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. Now, by the way, when they said religion, he's talking about Christianity. It's indispensable. It reminds me of what John Adams said. Our Constitution is made only for religious and moral people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other. Our country was founded by Christians generally. And Washington says, with slight shades of differences, you have all the same political philosophies, religion, habits, culture. Just slight shades of differences, yes, at the time, but everybody believed pretty much the Bible. Episcopalian, Presbyterian, Baptist, Methodist, you name it, they all were. And some Roman Catholics, very few Roman Catholics at this time, but still, you had pretty much a Christian view of things. And so, without us having a common sense of morality in who we are, you can't have political prosperity. In here again, George Washington wrote, "In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism, who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness, these firmest props of the duties of men and citizens." In other words, show me a person that is trying to knock down Christianity. He can't be a patriot. Now this is George Washington, because these are the pillars upon which our country rests. A country like ours can handle, some other religions beyond Christian, some, but overwhelmed, they can't handle it. Because now we have a different view of the world. And I know Dave Ajemus has been saying this for a long time. You have to concern yourself with people who don't have the same basic understanding of right and wrong. I mean, it used to be at one time that we could all say, we all believe the Ten Commandments, but now we don't all believe the Ten Commandments. I mean, well, what holds us together? Again, George Washington wrote, "The mere politician, equally with the pious man, ought to respect and cherish them. A volume could not trace all their connections with private and public felicity." That means the connections between Christianity and morality and public happiness and stable laws and stable government. "Let it simply be asked, where's the security for property, for reputation, for life, if the sense of religious obligation desert the oaths, which are instruments in the investigation in courts of justice?" Let me explain that. When we, from the very beginning, when we take an oath in the court system, "I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God." See, you appeal to God. In our Constitution, in Article 6, you had to take an oath, the presidential oath. "I do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the laws of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve and protect the Constitution." Take an oath to who? It presupposes God. I know a lot of people say, well, there's nothing about Christianity or God in the Constitution. That's not completely true. This is a reference to God. Now, you can't have in Article 6, you can't have a religious test. You can't say, well, you got to go to the Presbyterian church or you can't serve. No, no religious tests. But, you know, I'd be extremely slow to vote ever for an atheist. Because an atheist doesn't believe he's ever going to have to answer to God. See, when you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, you know that you're going to have to answer to God. And so that's what George Washington is saying. And again, he says, and let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Oh, well, we can be a moral person without religion, without Christianity. Oh, how? Upon what basis will you always tell the truth and be a trustworthy person without the idea that you're going to have to answer to God someday for that? Doesn't make sense. I mean, does not make sense. And that's what George Washington said in his farewell address here. Whatever may be conceded to the influence of refined education on minds of peculiar structure. In other words, a lot of people say, well, education, that's what we need, better education. Well, education, I suppose, will help. Okay. You know, education will help. But that's not the main issue. Not the main issue. I know you're talking about education in the first hour. Maybe we got to fund our schools. That's so important for our future. Well, I do believe that children need to know how to read, write, multiply, divide, subtract, know our history. But listen, as we've spent more and more money on education, has learning really increased at the same measure as our funding has increased? Do we think
not at all?
Not at all. It's just not true. By all measurable standards, that has not worked. Hey, by the way, enroll your kids in Northern Michigan Christian Academy. I'll plug that. But anyway,
absolutely.
No, it has not helped, or hasn't helped much. So that's what George Washington said. Let me read it again. Whatever may be conceded to the influence of refined education on minds of peculiar structure, reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle. You've got the principles of Christianity. That's what holds us to be more moral, less crime. I mean, if I believe it's wrong to murder, which I do, and if I believe that, and I believe if I murder somebody, boy, I'm going to answer to God for it. Boy, I'm not going to murder anybody. That will make our country a safer place to live. If, on the other hand, you think that you can kill people willy-nilly and you're just going to get away with it, and when you die someday, it's just you're going to go into one long sleepy oblivion with no answering to God. See, that takes away the incentive to be moral. So you can't have that national morality can prevail in the exclusion of religious principle. That's what he's saying, the principles of Christianity. That is, and that's what John Adams said too. He says, upon what did this country start? The general principles of Christianity, which all those young men generally agreed. He's talking about the Declaration of Independence. He said that in a letter to Thomas Jefferson. What did we all agree on at the founding of this country? The general principles of Christianity. So all those, excuse me, I ran into a guy the other day. Oh, that's what's wrong with this country. Religion. I'm anti-religious. I was trying to give him a gospel track. I said, oh, have a good day. I mean, I can't argue with it right there in store. But sure. That said, you're 180 degrees wrong. This country was founded, as John Adams said, on the general principles of Christianity. That's the same thing that George Washington is saying. That's the same thing that everybody believed. Yes, including Jefferson, who was not an Orthodox Christian the way I wish he was. But he believed in the general principles of the Bible and morality. And Thomas Jefferson said, I'm a Christian in the only way that anyone should be, a devoted follower of the teachings of Christ at the exclusion of any other. I mean, he called himself a Christian. He wanted to be a Christian, and he believed in the morality of the Bible. So that is another theme in George Washington's farewell address, which is important. We got to remember it. Now, here's the last theme, and we'll talk on this is important too. I was talking about foreign policy. One thing he said He said, "It is our true policy to steer clear of permanent alliances with any portion of the foreign world." When he came to office, France and Britain were at war again. And when they went, well, I shouldn't say when he came to office, and while he was in office, they renewed conflict. And he immediately issued a declaration of neutrality, saying, "No, no, no, we're not going to get into this war. We are not ready to join this war." The Democratic Republicans, led by Jefferson, were more friendly to the French, and Adams and Hamilton were more friendly to the British. And Washington says, "We are going to stay neutral," and we did. We stayed neutral. He said this, that our policy in foreign affairs needs to be with enlightened self-interest and justice. Enlightened self-interest and justice. Yes, we got to be America first. Enlightened self-interest. What's best for America? But also with justice. Washington wouldn't have been a total, complete isolationist, because justice sometimes demands intervention, especially when you have the power to do something. When he wrote this, we had no power. I mean, we were a fledgling experiment of a country. But he does say in his farewell address, the day may come when we won't need anybody's help and we can do whatever we think we need to do what's best for this country. By the way, what president do you know of in our lifetime says, look, we're going to do what's best for America, and if I think it's best, we're going to do it. Who does that? Who says that? Anybody you ever heard of?
Donald Trump.
Yeah, Donald Trump.
Only president that's ever said it.
Something like that. And Washington says the day's coming and we can act independent of others. Now, I get this. Do you remember during the Persian Gulf War under George Herbert Walker Bush, he went overseas and promoted the idea of stopping Saddam Hussein getting Saddam Hussein to leave Kuwait. He went overseas and gathered all sorts of international support. Then he came home and got congressional support. Okay. He did not just act. That's just not who he was. We can like him or not, but he was much more internationalist in his view, as was George W. Bush. Much more internationalist. Washington thought the day will come where we don't have to be like that. Hey, that's where we are right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Wrap this up. Final discussion with Pastor Chad Field. Short break. Word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
The Iron Pig on Old 27 South across from Otsego Lake is open for breakfast 7 days a week from 8 to 11. Sundays from 8 to 2 with a sumptuous breakfast buffet on the weekends. With golf season open, Iron Pig has room for any size golf group, or bring our delicious menu and legendary barbecue to your group. Either way, the Iron Pig has the team and location to make your up north dining experience truly memorable. Visit Iron Pig Smokehouse on Facebook, where we are always announcing new events and menu additions.
For all you folks out there that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
If you have pain in your neck, back, shoulders, elbows, wrists, hands, hips, knees, or feet, Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic deep tissue laser treatment for you. This technology relieves pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience fast robotic deep tissue laser pain relief at a special price. Call us Monday through Wednesday to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
This is Justin Michael. From day one, our campaign has been about one thing, people, the families, workers, veterans, small business owners, and communities that make Northern Michigan and the Upper Peninsula home. I'm running because too many people in Washington have forgotten who they serve. I've spent my life advocating for others, listening to their stories, and fighting for solutions that put people first. Our district deserves a representative who shows up, cares, and follows through on what they say they're going to do. It's time to start putting Americans first and Michigans first. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
The W Tax Group fights your IRS and state tax problems. With experienced tax attorneys and a dedicated legal team, we represent clients in all 50 states. We resolve tax liens, wage garnishments, back taxes, and reduce tax liabilities for businesses and individuals. We secured over $10 million in tax debt relief for clients every year. Call the W Tax Group today and get experience nationwide tax resolution on your side. Call us at 855-346-1788. Again, 855-346-1788.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Final segment of our discussion with Pastor Chatfield. Did George Washington have a closing paragraph or so that you'd like to wrap this up with, sir?
Just goodbye. And I've done my best. I'm going, he says, the mansions of rest, which he says I'm headed. I've done my best. Forgive me of any shortcomings that I have, but it wasn't because I wasn't trying. Love your country. Let me talk about one more idea that was throughout the farewell address, 1796. Hey, he said, if we go to war and we have to borrow money, let's pay it off quickly and not burdening the next generations with our debts that we ought to bear. This has been utterly, by both political parties, utterly rejected. We just had. We are now $39 trillion in debt, last I checked.
Yep.
$39 trillion. And that was one thing he warned. Okay, if an unavoidable war comes up and you have to borrow money, okay. But then he said, pay off the debt. I mean, we've never paid the debt off. And now it is beyond, I have no idea how we'll ever get out of debt. I don't even know how it's possible. I have no clue at this point. Maybe your listeners can figure that one out. I've said on your show for 10 years. It's been 11 years now. Actually, this is now our 12 years.
Yes, 12.
If we don't, if we don't do something, the economic system cannot continually feeding on itself. I mean, we're long, long past the gold standard. It's long past that we can have confidence in our system because we borrowed so much money. The other day I was talking to a friend. Actually, it was Dave Carlson. Dave and Nestor Carlson, contact them for your real estate needs. Okay, anyway, I said, hey, I'm collecting Social Security now. And Dave says, you're welcome. He says, you're welcome, because he's younger than me. And
sure.
Is Social Security going to be, it used to say that it was in, as Al Gore, a lock box, that we're protecting all those funds from Social Security. All the funds that you and I paid into Social Security, they're all long gone. They've been spent. There is no lock box. We're raiding the general. We've already raided the Social Security account complete. We're gone on fiscal responsibility.
Well, I believe that there's going to be a point in time, and we should realize that once we get past this Iran war, if you look at the One Big Beautiful Bill, the regulatory decline that's happening under President Trump, and the tax savings, tax cuts always increase revenue. All they have to do is adopt the two-penny plan, the one-penny plan, whatever the heck you want to call it. They need to make some cuts in the spending instead of this annual inflationary, you know, add 2 to 3% to every department. They've got to do what Harry Johnson's talking about doing at the state of Michigan level, is a mega audit where we go in and we actually do a forensic audit, give them zero budget, nothing. You get no budget. Now we sit down, create what you have to absolutely have, you know, maybe even reduce the number of employees. You were the largest employer in the state of Michigan, is the government. Stop that insanity and get down to the brass tacks. You know, he's saying he can walk in. He believes he can chop $20 billion right off of Gretchen Whitmer's budget without even batting an eye.
He might be right. And you might be right. However,
and if he could do it at the state level, why can't they do it at the federal level?
I'm going to tell you who's at blame here. It's the people. It's, hey, Randy, I got a diet for you. You can eat all the junk food as much as you want every day forever and lose weight. No.
Not going to happen.
It can't happen. There has to be some price to be paid, some cuts. And frankly, the American people are not willing, because as soon as somebody starts cutting, well, I'm not going to vote for him. He cut my fill in the blank, whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I have no solution to this. And by the way, I thought that by the time we were $39 trillion in debt, I thought that something in the economy would have totally busted. And I've been saying it for 20 years, and I've been saying it for 12 years on your program, and it hasn't happened yet. So people are now saying, oh, Chatfield, he's just exaggerating. We can go on like this, spending money that we don't have forever and ever and ever. And I don't see how that could happen, but it hasn't happened yet. So.
Yeah. Hey, I got a conversation with an individual the other day we both know. Are you still supporting a constitutional convention, a con at the state level?
I don't know. I was. I don't know. I'm skeptical of that the energy it takes to get that going might be better spent someplace else.
Yeah, they're pushing for it on the Republican side, and we've got a bunch of people pushing us to try to endorse it, and I'm still arguing with them over it. I'm kind of like where you're at. I'm not sure. So,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, very good. Good segment. Good history lesson. Where do we open our Bibles to up on Sunday, this Sunday from 11 to noon?
As one of those days, Randy. I'm not sure, so I can't give you a passage yet, but tune in and listen. Amen.
Ah, man, I had Ezekiel 9 all lined up last week.
Amen. Good. Good.
All right, sir. God bless. Thanks for everything.
All right, Randy. Amen.
Final hour of today's show. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop.
This is Perry Johnson, the Trump conservative for governor. I'm an outsider businessman, not a career politician. I spent my life bringing quality and efficiency to over 60,000 companies. In fact, they call me the quality guru. My first priority as governor will be my mega audit, the Michigan Efficiency Government Audit, that will find the fraud in state government and Jocelyn Benson's election office and eliminate it. By implementing my mega audit, we will save the taxpayers millions and return it to you with my 4747 income tax elimination plan and property tax reform. My Perry Johnson 4747 plan will put 4,740